Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. College basketball season is next month. It is great to be talking about college basketball. Great to be talking about Tennessee basketball in such a positive fashion, with the Vols having so much talent and depth coming back, a great recruiting class coming in, and this is the time of year where the national pundits are starting to take notice. Which teams do they think could break into that Final Four echelon outside of the expected suspects throughout the course of the offseason? Of course, Baylor, Gonzaga, Villanova, widely considered the top three teams in any order, the top three teams in college basketball. Who else could break in and be a member of that expected Final Four? And while the Volunteers aren't expected to be that fourth team immediately and may not even be on the short list of Final Four contenders, Tennessee is being considered as a slight dark horse of a team that could slip into that spot. And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament and March Madness. You don't have to put it together for the entire course of a season as perfectly as you do in college football, but you do need to get hot at the right time and win a handful of games in March to be able to be in that Final Four in the NCAA tournament. Tennessee, of course, has never been able to do that. Tennessee has been to the Elite Eight once. It made the Sweet 16 two seasons ago and was widely considered a disappointment when it fell short of reaching its second Elite Eight in school history. So we'll talk about the Vols. EJ Anasicki spoke to the media earlier this week, along with Devontae Gaines. You'll hear some comments from Anasicki later on in the podcast. Greg Marshall at Wichita State is under serious fire as there are some investigations going on over in Wichita, and a couple of national analysts with some really high comments about Tennessee. So all that and more coming up on the Behind the Arc podcast. We start with Tennessee with EJ Anasicki, the grad transfer from Sacred Heart. You heard us have his coach, Anthony Latina, from Sacred Heart on the podcast earlier when he first announced he was coming to Tennessee. And Coach Latina, very complimentary of EJ's work ethic, made him sound like just the type of player that would fit so well into Rick Barnes' scheme. As a double-digit rebounder, he averaged a double-double throughout the course of last season, was an all-NEC first-team selection, and has the type of gym rat mentality that Rick Barnes just loves. Now, of course, with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons coming back in the front court, Latina also acknowledged that Anasicki's probably going to be coming off the bench. He's not going to be a starting five guy. And when you consider Uros Plavsic hopefully developing, Olivier Kumwa, Drew Pember that already have significant playing time from last season, it's going to be a bit of a loaded front court. But Anasicki is the guy that is expected to insert himself into maybe being that number three or four guy in terms of Tennessee's front court situation, because he's a really good wing player, and he's 6'6", 245 pounds. He's got a lot of size and can really help Tennessee on the glass. The Vols ranked dead last in the SEC in rebounding. I've talked a lot last season about how rebounding really hurt Arkansas in close SEC matchups that really hurt their season down the stretch, especially when they didn't have Isaiah Joe for five games. And as Mason Jones being as incredible as he was, not having Joe and not being good on the glass really hurt the Razorbacks in Eric Musselman's first season down there in the home stretch in the end of the SEC schedule. But Anasicki is a guy that can help Tennessee correct that. And that would be huge for Tennessee, especially in some of these competitive SEC games. And if Tennessee wants to win the SEC, then there is no room to have such a glaring weakness on the floor. And you can't be that bad at rebounding and expect to be first in the SEC, especially with the type of tight man-to-man, high-pressure defense that Tennessee wants to play, because, of course, the Vols want to go with more tempo. They weren't really able to do that last year because they didn't feel comfortable with it, but Rick Barnes wants the tempo higher. He wants better shot selection. He wants the ball to go through the front court players. Last year, it was meant to go through John Fulkerson more. He felt like the offense was more efficient when it went through John Fulkerson. He didn't like Tennessee taking as many threes as they did throughout the course of the season. He wants good shot selection, good defense, and fast tempo. And if Tennessee is as good defensively as Rick Barnes believes that it can be this season, then Tennessee is going to be able to play with that faster tempo and continue to win some ball games with having more opportunities on the offensive side of the floor. So EJ Anasicki and Devontae Gaines both talked about Tennessee's expectation of winning a national championship, not just making the Final Four for the first time in school history, but winning it all. Going into March this upcoming season for the NCAA tournament and winning six games back to back to back to back to back to back. I think that's six. But anyway, EJ Anasicki was asked why both he and Devontae Gaines are so comfortable, why the players are so comfortable talking about winning a national championship. Here's Anasicki's response.
Because that's what we play for. I feel like that's our why. When it comes to the team, like every team has their why. Like, why do we do this? Like, why do we go hard every day? Like, you always got to have something to remind you what your end game is, what you're working towards every day. And for us, like, we want to win a national championship. That's something that we want to do. We want to be the team to do it. We want to win it for coach. We want to experience it. Winning a national championship is something we want to shoot for the top. And that's something that we pride ourselves and work hard to make sacrifices every day just to give each other a chance to do it and compete.
And this is a player who has only been with Tennessee for a few months. This is not somebody that was on last year's roster. And the culture is the immediate buy-in. And we've talked about buy-in before with some other players when I had Lamar Butler from George Mason on and how the Patriots went from, you know, being this Atlantic 10 team to suddenly making a run to the Final Four. I asked him, okay, what changed? What was the difference? And he said, we had buy-in. We had guys buy in. They took their summer workouts really seriously. We weren't content just winning the Atlantic 10. We wanted to go to the NCAA tournament and do some things. And they did that. And so, and again, that was when Coach Larrañaga was still there before he ended up at Miami, but that's another ACC coach with Final Four experience. And taking that George Mason team all the way to the Final Four, it was just incredible. But Lamar Butler said it had to do with the buy-in from the players on the team during the offseason leading up to that year. And for Anasicki, citing the same thing, and why the team feels like a national championship is possible, and why the players in the locker room, the coaches, why the program has this belief that it can happen. EJ Anasicki was asked, what is it about this team that makes themselves believe that a national championship is on the table? Here's Anasicki's response to that.
I think that we all bought in, the coaching staff, the players. I feel like we have a great group of guys. Everyone works hard. Everyone's bought in. And we compete every day. And I feel like a team that really works hard and gets better every day and able to be the toughest team out there, that we will give our chances, we'll give ourselves a shot to compete and get that far and win a national championship.
Some really strong comments from Tennessee's transfer wingman from NEC affiliate Sacred Heart. So EJ Anasicki, somebody that has high expectations coming in for himself and has a lot of optimism surrounding the program with Tennessee set to begin its season in about 6 weeks. I think there's reason to believe that Tennessee has that sort of belief. And the expectations for Rick Barnes are always very high. But last year, realistically, they just weren't at this level. You had this 2 years ago with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. Last year, the expectation was that Tennessee was going to take a step backwards. And it actually got worse for Tennessee in the first couple months of the season because Jordan Bowden was struggling. Lamonte Turner ends up being lost for the season due to a shoulder injury. Zach Kent transfers. So you're still trying to figure out how the front court offense is going to work because John Fulkerson just wasn't there yet and then got really going in a big way late in the SEC season. And now there's talk about John Fulkerson being this all SEC caliber player. Could very well be the case this upcoming season. I mean, Seth Davis from The Athletic referred to Fulkerson as a bona fide All-American and could very well be that way if he continues to play the way that he did against Florida and Kentucky late last season. So Tennessee, high expectations, and you heard the comments there from EJ Anasicki. Tennessee believes that it can do some really, really special things this upcoming season. It has a coach that's been to the Final Four. It has players that are hungry for the Final Four. It has some players that have been a part of really successful teams at Tennessee. Can it finally take that next step forward? We are less than 2 months away from starting the journey to find that out. Greg Marshall in serious hot water at Wichita State, one of the best programs in the country. There's been questions as to why Greg Marshall hasn't gone somewhere else to get another head coaching job. We might be discussing why next right here. I'm Joel Silverberg. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal. So Greg Marshall, according to The Athletic, is coming under an investigation from the university after it has been reported that he is guilty of verbally and physically abusing players and staffers within the Wichita State basketball team, within the athletic department. There's one incident that includes a student from a different sport on Wichita State's campus, and it's all really disturbing stuff. And we've heard about coaches being verbally abusive, but Greg Marshall, when you throw in the physical abuse, it obviously makes it a lot worse. The verbal abuse really shouldn't happen, especially at this level. And Greg Marshall being the really the celebrity that he is on that campus, the allegations stem from past players. It was first reported. It was first told by past players. And then it has apparently been an issue with current players as well. And keep in mind, six scholarship players and a walk-on transferred after this past season. So Greg Marshall lost seven players from his 2019-2020 roster and admitted that he didn't manage personalities well, but to have that many guys on a college basketball team all decide to leave, including Eric Stevenson, who is one of your key players returning from last season, an investigation was launched. And it turns out that there have been some serious incidents involving the Wichita State men's basketball program and Greg Marshall. Incidents include from the 2015 season are the ones that have the most alarming allegations. There was one where there was an incident during practice. One player blocked another player's shot. The player landed awkwardly and fell. Marshall went over, began chewing out the player that made the defensive play, calling it a dirty play. Told him to get the bleep out of practice, followed him out of the gym, and punched the player in the shoulders near his neck, and an assistant coach had to intervene. That same season, a staff member was working out a group of players for a workout session. Marshall was not pleased with the session. He approached the staff member, started berating him, and put one of his hands around his neck. That's according to eyewitnesses. People who claimed to be present at the event. Then that spring, there was an incident where another student athlete was in his parking spot and was in the process of pulling out of it and pulled out of the parking spot before Marshall got there. Marshall chased the student down and then reportedly attempted to punch his way through the driver's side window of the car. According to The Athletic, attempted to punch the student through the driver's window. The Athletic attempted to reach out to Marshall about all of these incidents. He did not respond for comment. Marshall has responded to The Athletic saying, "I'm aware the university conducted interviews and I fully participated in the process. I look forward to having it wrapped up as I continue to focus my energy on my team." These incidents are not good. And I expect Greg Marshall ultimately to lose his job. And the university has released a statement saying, you know, we it's the usual spiel. We plan to launch an investigation. We've hired this firm during the time being. Basketball activities will continue as scheduled. I think at the conclusion of this investigation with so many former players, when you consider the mass exodus of talent that just left Wichita, I do not expect Greg Marshall to be the head coach at Wichita State much longer. There's just no way that a head coach at any program can get away with something like this. And we can insert the Will Wade jokes all we want to, but when you have players willing to speak against their own coach, that's when you really get into a sticky situation. There have been incidents that the athletic department has known about, but when you are a mid-major college basketball team and you have a coach that's taken your program to the Final Four, has put guys in the NBA, has gone to the NCAA tournament seven consecutive years, you are going to obviously have a lot of high expectations. There's a lot of stock investment into your program. And Greg Marshall, of course, has been really popular with the fan base and with boosters within the athletic department. So for an incident like this, the university is going to make sure they get it right. But if they get it right, and this turns out to be the case, it's hard to imagine that this is all fabricated. I would imagine that Greg Marshall's not going to be the coach at Wichita State for very long. I don't expect to see him coaching. I'll be very surprised if he's coaching Wichita State on November 25th when the season is set to start. We will wrap up with some comments about Tennessee. We'll get back to the Volunteers' Final Four expectations, potentially, according to a couple of national analysts. I'm Joel Silverberg. This is the Behind the Arc podcast here on The Sports Animal. Thanks again for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. John Rothstein of CBS Sports released his preseason SEC power poll rankings earlier last week on Twitter, and he's got the Vols as the favorite to win the SEC. Kentucky's number two, LSU is number three. That has widely been the order for a lot of people. Tennessee, Kentucky in the one and two spots one way or another, LSU being the number three, and then a bit of a gap before you get to number four. And I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people, that Tennessee is going to be expected to win the SEC this year. And Asicki talked about that when he met with the media earlier on Friday. I think for Tennessee, that's where the expectation is at. And that's where those improvements have to come in. As I said in the first segment, Tennessee was dead last in the SEC in rebounding last year. Tennessee can't be last in the SEC in rebounding this season and expect to win the conference. It's just not going to happen. You can be a tournament team and get away with that. And you can win some ball games and get away with that sometimes. But you're not going to consistently win a lot of games in a very competitive conference where you're expected to win the league, but you haven't done so since 1979, the last time Tennessee won the SEC tournament, especially with Kentucky having the recruiting class it has, LSU returning so much talent. Tennessee is not going to just walk in and win the SEC. It is going to have to be better in multiple facets of the game. Now, the expectation with Tennessee's depth and talent is that it's going to do that, and I think Tennessee will do that. I'd be very surprised if Tennessee was last in the SEC in rebounding again this season, but both assistant coach Michael Schwartz and head coach Rick Barnes both told Seth Davis of The Athletic, yeah, we've got to be better at rebounding. We have to do the dirty work. And so if the Vols are going to do that, it's going to need help from guys like Anasicki. John Fulkerson and Eve Pons are going to continue to be better. Josiah Jordan James coming off that wing spot, even if he's playing point guard, wherever he is, he's going to be needed to help on the glass on both ends of the floor. Tennessee has the capability to do that this season. Seth Davis of The Athletic did his State of the Hoops program report. And ultimately, I won't give too much away since it's really just meant for subscribers, but his final report, he likes Rick Barnes a lot. He likes the talent. He likes the depth. And he is calling Tennessee the favorite to win the SEC and a great bet to make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, but not quite a shortlist favorite to win the national championship. He says there's a good bit of real estate in that gap, but he thinks it'll be fun watching the Vols try to stake their claim. And I think that's a fair opinion from Seth Davis to say Tennessee's the favorite to win the SEC and should be able to get to the second week of the NCAA tournament. So you're talking about Tennessee making the Sweet 16 as it did 2 years ago, potentially the Elite Eight. Can Tennessee take it one step further and make the Final Four? And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You just get there, and it's a one-game stage. And so I think for Tennessee, it has to be able to be consistent throughout the course of the SEC season. Hopefully, the season goes off without a hitch in terms of COVID-19 and things of that nature. Conference scheduling is not much of a problem. But if the Vols are able to get themselves into a Sweet 16 again, you're talking about a team with so much depth and so much talent, young players that have now had a full season under their belts, a couple of NCAA tournament games, and the opportunity to move forward and maybe get to an Elite Eight. But for Tennessee, we talk so much in the NCAA tournament about veteran guard play is so important. Well, Tennessee's starting to get that now with Vescovi and James. Plus, Tennessee has talent with Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. It has leadership in the front court with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons. On paper, do I like the team from 2 years ago better than this team? Probably, because Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield were guys that were proven. And John Fulkerson and Eve Pons, I think, are guys that have proven themselves to a degree. But Grant Williams did it for two seasons and then was a first-round pick in the NBA draft. We're talking about all-time solid Tennessee players for Tennessee basketball. And I think for this year's team, is there more depth? Yes. But that starting five, you know, can it generate the consistent type of production that it did late last season? Does Santi Ogoscovi, how much of a step does he really take? The expectations for him are out the roof because it's easy to look at the optics of his situation and say, he came in from Uruguay, was supposed to redshirt, instead had less than a week of practice, started against LSU, had a really great showing, hit 6 3-pointers, ended up being one of Tennessee's best outside shooters. Rick Barnes said he saved the season, and he did that on a week's notice. What is he going to do with a full offseason? It's easy to ask that. The expectations are not going to be tame for Santi Ogoscovi. Josiah Jordan-James played most of last year with an injured hip that really bothered him throughout the preseason and never got better. And then he started to become more aggressive offensively as the year went on. So for James, what is his progression going to be like? And then you add the talent of all the freshmen coming in. Corey Walker is a guy that I think we need to be talking more about. And EJ Anasicki providing more depth in the front court as well, coming off the wing, a guy who maybe isn't used to playing with the same pace as what Rick Barnes wants to see. But he's a good passer for a guy of his size. He's gritty on the boards, and he can score. So Tennessee has offensive weapons. You know what it has defensively, especially because of Eve Pons. And it has a coach that knows how to prepare a team for moments like this. It's going to be really exciting to see what Tennessee does over the course of this season. We're less than 2 months away, and the expectations continue to get higher as more and more national analysts basically give their vote of confidence in Tennessee. I appreciate you listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, I'm at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Feel free to reach out with any basketball questions that you might have. And feel free to go back and check out previous editions of the podcast. We've had Chris Dortch on in the last month. You've heard comments from EJ Anasicki today, David Cobb of CBS Sports talking about the upcoming basketball season. All of that in the last five or six episodes or so of the Behind the Arc podcast. It's been a lot of fun. It's going to be more fun when the college basketball season begins. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and feel free to tell your friends about a college basketball podcast. If they're college hoops fans, tell them about the Behind the Arc podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm Joel Silverberg. It's been the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.